Gonna say that.
Just feels longer. Okay, we continue with the Rambam. We're in chapter 3, Hilchos Tmidim Musafim, Halacha Yud Dalid. We're in the middle of the menorah, and we discussed how much oil we put in each one of the lamps of the menorah. And now, the other lamps, when you come and clean them out, we're going to get to, I don't know if we mentioned it, or we will, he cleans out the first five of the seven lamps.
Right, we said that.
Now, when they're out, how do you light them? Where do they get lit off from? Yud Dalid. Now, we said if the Ner Maravi went out, it gets lit from the Mizbeach. So, when you're coming into these five that are out, or on, or out, what do you do with the other ones that are out? You're not going to light it from the Mizbeach, but rather, Yud Dalid V'Ketzan Madlikin, how do we light the other lamps that have gone out? Now, what would be the simplest way to do it?
From the lit ones.
Strike a match.
I don't think that matters.
Well, that wasn't an option. The option is you're going to have to light from the other
candles.
Ones that are lit. Yeah. Now, how are you going to do that?
With a wick.
Let's say you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? Now, number one is out. Okay? So, you got, let's say 4 is lit. So, how is 1 going to get lit from 4? Got any suggestions?
Yeah. Candle.
So you want to say take a candle or another wick or something and light it off of 4, and from 4 go and light 1.
Yeah.
Great idea. The Talmud totally rejects it. So they got any other bright ideas?
Bright ideas?
No, I'm saying any other solutions. So it was a good solution. I would have thought of it. The Talmud says it's not a bad solution, but you can't do it. You're not allowed to do that because it would be disgracing the menorah. Because you're lighting from the holy menorah, the one in between isn't holy. That other one isn't holy. So what are you going to do? Well, of course, you're not going to be able to figure this one out.
Yes.
So what do you do? What do you exactly do?
How do you do it?
Describe it. You got half. Shelly got 90% of it. Finish it off. If you already came up with that idea, you could figure out the rest now.
The wick is all the way across, and it burns into it.
Yeah, but how does it fly through the air and do that?
It's a super long wick.
You light it. Pull it out.
It burns.
It's called gravity. How do you keep it?
Tweezers.
Pull it out with your fingeroo. Look. Pull it, pull it out, let it catch,
and then
pull it back.
Or tweezers.
Or your fingers, whatever. Well, I think in the picture you have little cleaning things.
It says tweezers. It says here with tweezers.
Well, we will see. Let's continue. Yud Zion, Yud Dalet. Vekates and Malika, how do you like one that went out? Moshe Chapsila, you pull out the wick, the extinguished wick. Until it catches on to one that is lit. Umachzira, and then you bring it back. Because those wicks were very long. Must be they kind of wound. Like when you had the cup, it wasn't just going straight down. It probably maybe wound around a few times underneath. So then when you got to pull it, all of a sudden it's a magic trick. Ooh, look how far it goes. Because the menorah was pretty big. I mean, that'd be very big wicks. So they probably were wound round and round and round. So if you got to pull them out, it's still connected to the.
What did they do if it happened to be that wick was near the end? They didn't realize it, but they pulled it out.
I don't know. I don't know all these difficult situations.
That's what you do. I don't
work there. I just explain things.
And get a new
one. Okay. Anyway, why? Because they tell me, well, listen, why don't you do a simple thing? Just pick up the lamp and move it over. Why didn't you do that? No, pick up the lamp. The lamp's on the menorah. Well, a simple reason. Levisha Neiris for a menorah, because the receptacles were fixed into the menorah. You couldn't move them. That's why. You can't move. It's there. It's there. It can't move. Now, what about the other solution? You can't light off a different one, meaning the one that's lit, get another Ner from outside and light it, and then this one lights the other one. Can't do that. Mishum bizayon, it's disgraceful, because you're lighting a mundane wick from the menorah, and that we do not do. So from menorah to menorah, yes, but menorah to outside menorah to menorah, no. That's how we lit the ones that went out.
So you can't light Shelley's candle from another Shelley's candle, can you?
When?
No, you could.
When? When do you think?
You can't light a Hanukkah. No, before.
I know. You'd have to do it before.
You can't light a Hanukkah candle. Cannot.
No.
That you can't. But I don't know about the Shabbos one, because here you see you could.
Yeah.
Hanukkah one's a different.
Yeah, you can lift them up.
But
it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different.
Because
you're not going to do that. It's, you know, what
if
you have
candles have a particular condition?
No, they don't. So it wouldn't. But you would just light. We just use the light that we have.
I know that,
but if you didn't have, then you could light from one Shabbos candle to another Shabbos candle. Well, you don't need a shamash. It's a little bit different. Hanukkah candles ain't lano rishus lishtamish, but Hanukkah Shabbos ones you could.
They don't say that.
Okay, let's move on. Tesvav. Now, kol hap. Now, this is a similar to Hilchas Shabbos law. We know there are certain wicks you're not allowed to use for Shabbos candles for one of two reasons: either that doesn't light properly,
right,
or it could go out and then you'd be tempted to relight it. So the rule is, Tesvav, call a pesila, sha'asa halagam b'Shabbos, any wicks that are not fit to be used for Shabbos, also halagam b'mikdash b'menorah. You can't use them in the Beis HaMikdash for the menorah for the same thing. All right? Shenemar, it says, lahalos ner tomi, to have rising up a continuous flame. So therefore, one shet, hey, shalheves oilam aleh, you want it to go up by itself and to be a steady flame. We don't want a poor wick that it's not a steady flame. We cannot use that. Tezayin. Now, here's an interesting halacha. You'd figure if the guy is coming to clean out and make sure they're all lit, he'd do all seven in one shot. It would seem to make sense. Wouldn't that make sense? You're going there, you do all seven. But we don't do what makes sense. Lohaya meitiv kolaneris v'pamachs. You didn't clean out and fix up the lights on all of them in one shot. Elamaitiv chamisha neris. You'd light five, fix them up or whatever. Umafsik, take a break. And other avodos in this Korban Tumid regimen were done. And afterwards, nichnas umeti v'shnaim. And then you fix up the other two. And that probably was the Ner Maravi and one next to it. Debate exactly where they were, depending on what you hold. But you did five and then two. Now, why in the world would you do that? Interesting answer. Kidei lahargish es kol ha'azora. To inspire everything that's in the azora. And I guess the inspiration is from multitudes of works. In other words, instead of him just going to it once, he goes to it twice. So you try to, like, increase the excitement over there. Does your English translate that?
He says in between you put up the limbs of the
sacrifice. You're doing other things. You're doing other things.
The Ketoros.
But anticipation.
But I get, but it's like you're...
attract the attention.
Yeah, everyone will notice it.
Yeah, so it's like you're dividing up the work to make it look like it's a bigger deal. Okay. Now, Yud Zayin. Now, the details of the cleaning and relighting a little bit more specifically. Kol ner shekava, any one of the lamps that went out. Madliki noso miner acher mehem. We already said you lighted off another one. Kamosh, as we explained. Veketzad seder hatava. What is the nature of the hatava? Remember, there were two things over here. We said there was dishon, and that was cleaning it, meaning taking out the old wicks and the old oil. And then hatava, what we call lighting. So what is this hatava? So let's see clearly here. Zeh shedzocha bedishan. Remember, there were lotteries over here. So the one who wins the lottery, who wins that he gets to clean the menorah. What did he do precisely? Nichnas, he entered, ukli biyado, and he had a utensil in his hand, vekuz Shimo. Its name was the Kuz. That's what it was called. Vishel Zavaya was gold. Doma lekiton gold, like a big jug. That's what it looked like. Mindashem boas apsilos. You clean out the wicks, shikavu. Ves Hashem and Anishar Baner. Okay, and with oil that's left over. Vehetiv Chamisha Neros. And now you clean out those five receptacles, nice and well. Umeniach hakuz sham lifnei haMenorah, and you would place the kuz there before the menorah, almala shenia, on the second step. There were three steps in front going up to the menorah, and you leave it on the second step. All right? Malchus Shnia, Mishalish Malchus of them, from the three that were four, Vyotze, and he would go out. Now, not exactly clear from here exactly what happened over here. He has to have some oil. Now, I'm not exactly sure where the oil is. Now, what did we do? He's taking out the old wick. He's taking out the old oil. He's cleaning it out, right?
And he's putting it in
the He's putting in the oil. So there's something missing over here.
Yeah.
Like, where is the oil? We got this kuz. Now, what are you doing with the kuz?
Now, is the kuz used to pour the oil?
I don't know. It just says he has a kuz with him. I don't know. Does your English give us any help over here?
The kuz is made to go to a large pitcher. No, you put the old wicks in it.
You put the wicks in it. So where's the oil from? Like, it's kind of missing. Like, where is the oil? I don't know. There's got to be something else over there. So I'm not exactly sure. Just, you know, I've been reading it a few times, and then it's just...
It doesn't say.
What?
It doesn't say anything.
Well, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Let's just see. One second.
Is that the kuz there that he has on that table?
Yeah. It seems there's something else over here.
Yeah, because there's two things.
Okay, there seem to be a few other things here that the Mishnah doesn't mention. In this picture here, you got the kuz over here.
That's what he's leaving behind.
That's what he's leaving things. But now he's got the kli dishon hamenorah, that's utensil that helps him clean it out. And look over here, a little pach shemen.
Whoa.
A little jar of oil.
Yeah, with a pouring spout.
So it seems that the Rambam and the Mishnayos are not telling us all the things that are there. In other words, the kuz is where you're going to put all the leftover junk. But he's got to have something to clean it out with. Whatever. It's an intricate type of utensil here. So he's got the cleaner outer. And then he puts the stuff in the kuz. And then he brings a pitcher of oil. I guess maybe it was so obvious the Ram doesn't mention it. That's all. In other words, obviously he had to bring oil, right? Obviously he needed a utensil to clean it. So what's the kuz for? The kuz is where we put the refuse, or whatever you want to call it, leftover on the wick. He leaves it there because we've got to wait for other avodos to happen. Remember, we're going to get rid of the old ash from the inner mizbeach and the leftovers from the menorah. They're going to be at the same time put in the Mokom HaDeshen, so they'll absorb at the same time. So fine. So he does that. He goes out, and then later on, Va'achar Kach, and afterwards, after the other Avodas that we'll see are done, Nichnas, he comes back in a second time, Umeitiv Shtei Aneiros, he cleans out the other two lamps, V'notel HaKuz B'yodo, now he takes the Kuz out, U'mishtachav, he bows down, V'yotze, and he leaves. Okay, so what have we done so far? We've done the Ketores. We have done the menorah. Now we have to go to the Minchas Chavitin. The Chavitin was the special meal offering that the Kohen Gadol brought that would be completely burnt. So now from here till the end of the Perek, we're going to be involved in the Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. That is in the small frying pan, the flat frying pan. The Minchas Chavitin. So that takes us to the end of the chapter. Yudches. Chavite Kohen Gadol, this Minchas Chavitin from the frying pan one, that the Kohen Gadol again brought every day, half of the amount in the morning and half of the amount in the afternoon. Mitzvah Saseh, La'akrivim B'chol Yom. It's a paz mitzvah to bring it every day. The Kohen Gadol has to bring it. Mechza Baboker, half in the morning. Im Tamid Shal Shachar, together with the morning Tamid. Umechza Ben Arbarim, one in the afternoon. Im Tamid Shal Barim, with the afternoon Korban. Velishoson Vafi Sayoson, and the kneading, which is a malacha, and baking, which is a malacha, Doichen as a Shabbos, pushes off the Shabbos. You do it on Shabbos also. Just like you shech the korban on Shabbos, you also knead the mincha and you bake the mincha on Shabbos. It's the only time you can do it. And it's also dochev es hatoma. And if it's tomei, everyone's tomei, it's doicha. Just like korban shekavu l'zman, just like any korban that has its own time. The chiddush here, Why do we have to repeat it? Because the korban is a korban tumid for the entire Jewish people.
The
mechas chavidit, it's really, you think, well, it's just for the Kohen Gadol. Maybe just for the Kohen Gadol, it wouldn't push it off. So we're saying, no, it's part of the daily ritual. Even if it's only involving one person, for one person, still it does push off, because it is, that's the day it has to be done. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, it calls it tifine. Tifine means it's a contraction of shetehe na'a. It should be beautiful, meaning it should be fresh. So it can't be fresh if it's baked the day before. And there's many reasons why you could not bake this the day before. Number one, v'lo te'efa be'erev, it shouldn't be baked in the evening because it won't be fresh the next day. And more importantly, it's going to be pusle. V'od im te'efene be'erev, if you do bake it at night, now it's going to stay in the pan. Right? Tipasel balina, it'll now be pasul. We know anything that stays in a serving utensil overnight in the Beis HaMikdash becomes tame by staying overnight. Just like the water in the kior that stays overnight. So anything that stays overnight in a vessel is pasul. So therefore, why? Kshah marcheshes, it's not the marcheshes, it's really the machavas. Marcheshes is the deep pan. We have to change the girsa. It's the machavas, the flat pan. Mi clay kodesh, it's one of the clay kodesh. Anything that sits in a clay kodesh overnight automatically becomes pasul. So what are my options? I got to make a fresh one on Shabbos. Now, but not everything involved in this process was done on Shabbos, and not everything was done in the Azara. Tchinas sultan, grinding of the flour, veherkeden, and the sifting of the flour, Bachutz is outside of the Azara, like all menachos are prepared outside of the Azara. And they don't push off Shabbos because that could be done before Shabbos.
Sure.
Grinding flour, sifting flour, that doesn't have to be fresh, as it were. Okay, chaf. Now things get interesting here. So on a normal, nice day, Kohen brings half of the required amount as a minchas chavitim in the morning, half in the afternoon. Now let's play some interesting scenarios. What happened? The Kohen Gadol brings his half in the morning, and then he dies.
Oh, boy.
Now what's going to happen in the afternoon? Now, number of scenarios. Number one, what if we get a replacement by the afternoon? There's a new Kohen Gadol. What does he do in the afternoon? What if we don't get a replacement for him?
Oh boy.
Okay, what do we do in the afternoon? What if he dies before even bringing anything?
Mm.
And now you have to start, and let's say there's no replacement yet. All kinds of interesting scenarios and some interesting chidushim. Chaf. Kohen, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol now. Shehikriv mechza b'shachas, he brought half of his minchas chavitin as he's supposed to in the morning. V'mesa, then he dies. Or he's incapable of serving because, let's say, onitma or becomes tame, so he's out for the day. Onolad lamumer, let's say he developed a blemish right after that. And what do they do? Uminu kohen acher taftu. They appointed another kohen in his place. So now let's think for a minute. So you would have thought, well, very simple, the new kohen. Now remember, the minchas chavitin had to, the flour and oil had to belong to the kohen. It was the kohen gadol's personal property. That's one of the rules.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say with the Kohen Gadol in the morning, he took the whole amount, was his, that's his. He used half of it, then he died. Well, the other half, whose is it? It's the estates, let's say. Okay, now, if we appoint a new Kohen Gadol, the new Kohen Gadol can't use the second half, it ain't his.
What happens if it's a son?
Yeah,
hold on, let's just wait. Okay, but even that, it's still not his because there's other inheritors. Maybe let's just keep it simple. Okay, now the next guy, he should just bring a half.
No,
we got a rule. The thing has to start whole.
It's all or nothing.
You don't start by bringing half. You bring a whole amount.
The Torah
says you have to bring a whole amount, then you split it in half. So what's the option? The new coin's got to bring the whole amount, then split it in half. What's going to happen to the other half? You're going to find in a minute. What happens to the first half of the Kohen Gadol? You're going to find out in a minute. So what's happened? We appoint somebody else. Lo yovi chatzi isar mes. He doesn't bring a half an isar and a flower from his house. And he can't use the lo chatzi isar and shal rishon. He can't use the other half of the first Kohen Gadol because that doesn't belong to him. Ella maybe rather he brings isaron shalem, a complete isaron. Vehot from his own house. Vehotseon then splits it in half. Umakri mechzam brings half. Umechza oven and the other half is lost. I mean, because it's not roy anymore. You can't use it for anything else because you can't use it for the next day either. So what comes out of this? Chafavus is a continuation. Nimsu comes out of this situation. How much do we lose between the two Kohanim? One full measure, half and half. Exactly. Nimsu, Shnei Chatzoyim craving. Two halves are brought. One half from the first coin, one half from the second coin. Shnei Chatzoyim Ovdim. Two halves are lost. Ve'elu Shnei Chatzoyim Ovdim. What happens to the ones that are lost? What do we do with it? We can't just burn it. No. Manichon, so we just leave them in the Azorah. Until their shape is lost, meaning it starts to spoil, or if it stays overnight. Remember, once it stays overnight, it's puzzled right away. And then what happens? V'yotzin lebeis ha-shreifa. Then we bring it. There's a place in the Azorah called the beis ha-shreifa, and then you burn it. You don't burn it while it's still officially good. You wait till it spoils or it stays overnight and then is rendered not good.
What if Pesach is coming?
I don't know. I don't think he brings a minchas. I don't think Kohen Gadol.
No, sitting there.
Kohen Gadol, I don't think, brings a minchas chavitin on Erev.
No.
A Kohen Gadol does not bring a minchas chavitin on Erev Pesach.
No, but it might be a couple days before it spoils. It might be sitting there for a few days.
At once it sits overnight, it's already possible. Okay. Like we didn't bring a Korban Toda on Erev Pesach. That's why we don't say Mismor Lesod on Erev Pesach, because there's so much chametz, right? But wait a minute. But there's another issue. I don't think this is chametz. We'll see. Anyway, I don't want to get there. Anyway, v'cheinim avad, or how about what if onitma hachasi shel harboyim, or what if the other half of the after one gets lost or gets posel? Okay. Same halacha, veheichin sorv and so on. Where do we burn them? Ba azora, in the azora, the special beis hadeshen, a spot in the azora where we burn those things that aren't worthy.
If he becomes tamei, so there's a acting kohen gadol.
Someone has to replace. Yeah.
It's temporary.
Yeah. Takes his place temporarily.
Did he write something? I can't remember the details.
So you think I can remember?
An inauguration procedure for the.
Yeah, inaugurations are fully burnt.
Yeah.
That's the first one. It's fully
doesn't
burnt.
Have to be in the mor- doesn't have to be in the
I don't remember. I don't remember. But the inaugural one is fully burnt. It's not part in the morning, part in the afternoon. It's an inaugural one. It's not a minchas chavina. It's an inaugural one. Okay, that was...
Next time you learn this.
Is when we've appointed somebody else. How about Chav Beis? Meis koin godel b'shachris achar shikriv chatzin sarin v'lo minu koin achar. I finished this already. I'm on Chav Beis. What?
Chav Allah.
I did Chaf Aleph already. I finished Chaf Aleph. I'm already on Chaf Beis. Meis Kohen Gadol b'shachris acher shehigriv chatzis sarim v'lo minu kohen acher. The Kohen Gadol brought it in the morning. He died, but we didn't have time to appoint anybody new.
Oh boy.
So what happens next? Well, now his descendants have to inherit this obligation, even though they're not Kohen Gadols. So Mevina Yorshin, now they can't take his half because they don't really own it yet. So it's okay. And therefore, they just bring a whole one for him. Mevina Yorshin Isaron Shalem. They bring a complete Isaron Avur Kaparasol for his korban. Ven Osin Oso Chavitim. They make the regular Chavitim for this. Ushlema Hoisa Kreva. Here's a new exception. They bring the full amount. They bring the full amount. It's based on certain psukim. Certain psukim teaches they bring the full amount. Okay, when it's a new coin gadol, he just brings the half amount, but they have to bring a full amount. Mace coin gadol kodem shigriv. What if the coin gadol dies before he even brought it in the morning? Don't have anybody. V'lo minu coin gadol. We didn't appoint a coin gadol. Then makrivin also isar and shon b'boker. I guess the descent, the inheritors. What?
A complete one.
Baboker and Visar Shalom Ben, and a complete one there. Again, it's learned from Psukim. Whenever inheritors bring, they bring the full one each time. But normally, remember, if you have an Isaron, you have an equal measure of oil, an equal measure of, frankincense. But if you would go, so remember, if it's a whole one, you take half of everything and half of everything. But now you're using the full amount of flour on one. That's really double, because you're supposed to use half, right? Even though we double the flour, but we don't double the oil, and we don't double the frankincense. Van Koflin, Shamna, Lavonta, Aval Pishnech, even though we double the flour, so it's a much thicker consistency. Elam, Afrishanam, what do we do? Like before, Shlosha Lugashem, three Lug of Shemin are split in half like normal. Vekomets Lavona split in half. So we got logu mechza shemen. You got 1.5 log of oil. Vechatzi komas lavona, half a handful of frankincense. For the full isaron of flour. Lisaron shall boger, the full isaron in the morning. And the same thing in the afternoon. Vologu mechza shemen, 1.5 log of oil. Vechatzi komas lavona, and a half of a handful of frankincense. Lisaron shall base menabayim. For the full isaron of flour, again, a much thicker consistency. That ends this parak. Next week, we'll start and go through to describe fully the four lotteries that happened in terms of how the lotteries were done and who gets what by each lottery.